There we go. Merry Christmas once again, everybody. Come on, third service, and give a big hand for Jesus. I've said many times, Pastor Lance, I love third service. It's like you guys get all the goodies from the rest of the services that everybody else didn't get. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. I'm very excited to be with you guys today. I love this time of year. It really is the most wonderful time of the year for me. And coming to church and seeing all these Christmas flowers, what are these things called? Those things. It just makes you feel all Christmassy. And actually, you know, for many of us, we have loved ones that aren't with us or loved ones that have passed away. And it's really when you come to church during this time of year, you feel family. It's like a lot of times I'll walk around and meet people and hug them. And it's not because I'm that nice. I'm really not that nice. That's because you guys are family. I mean, if you're here, God put us here together. We might as well enjoy one another and celebrate the reason why we're all here. So, again, thank you guys for being here today. We started a series last week by Pastor Fikri, and it's called Great Expectations. And we're going to be continuing that today. And along with all of the Christmas stuff, me and my family, we have these traditions that we have started. My wife has actually had one that started in her family, and we've carried it on to our family, and we bundle everybody up. And we go riding around looking for Christmas lights. Any of you guys put up Christmas lights? Thank you guys for doing that. I don't do that. So thank all of you for making our little ride around town possible. We also started something else before our kids. We started this tradition of where we watch Christmas movies during the Christmas season. That kind of makes sense, right? And so we've been watching all the kids' Christmas movies. We watch, Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And then when the kids go to bed, we watch the adult Christmas movies. That sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? We watch Christmas with the Cranks. And we watched one the other day was one of the best ones. This movie is so good that some stations will play it 24 hours in a day. It's about this little boy named Ralphie. Anybody ever heard of that one? It's a Christmas story. Some of you guys, that gets on your nerves. I love that movie because it's told from the perspective of 9-year-old little Ralphie. And Ralphie has big plans, big dreams, great expectations. He has the idea that he's going to receive on Christmas morning the greatest Christmas toy ever. Does anybody know what it was? No, it wasn't a BB gun. It was an official Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. And he schemed and plotted, and he wanted this thing so bad. And we're actually going to be talking about having great expectations today. And even though sometimes Christmas can be so great for many of us, it can also be a very troubling time of the year. We've got one passage of scripture that we're going to talk about today, and you can actually open up in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can open up your phone, or you can just look on the screen if you'd like to, but I would love for you to actually see this in the palm of your hand. And I just want to pray as we get started. I really believe that God is going to speak to many of us in a very tangible way. For some of you, maybe you don't have great expectations, and maybe life has snuffed out some of that belief and some of that desire that you may have had. I really believe that God wants to dare you to believe. Again, it's funny how kids can have great faith, and when we get older, we kind of lose that. You know, my little son, John, is 3 years old, and before I pray, I just want to tell you this quick story. Yesterday, he wanted Daddy to crab walk with him, and that's where we get on all fours, and I'm getting older, and it hurts to crab walk. And he's like, Daddy, let's go crab walk. And he wouldn't give up, and he believed that Daddy was going to get down on all fours and crab walk. So what happened? Daddy got down, and Daddy crab walked. And it's funny how a little kid just believes that something's going to happen because they say it or because they ask for it. And as we get older, we get 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, and up, and we just tend not to believe the way we used to. I think that God might shake you up a little bit today. He might challenge a little bit of where you've been and now where you are and dare you to believe for great things once again. I just want to pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you have allowed us to live to see another Christmas season. Thank you, God, that you have gathered us together to hear your word, the transformative, powerful, and effective word of God today. We believe, God, that there is a specific reason why you have brought us here today. And we pray, God, that you would speak to every individual as well as all of us collectively today, God, and give us big hopes, give us big faith, God, to believe in you today. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. All right, in Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 25. We're going to read about a guy that is often left out of the Christmas story. Many of us know huge chunks of the Christmas story, but this guy you may not have ever heard of before, but we're going to take a look at his life today. It's actually the only part of the Bible that actually talks about this guy and what he did. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents had brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" Verse 33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" There's something unique about this guy named Simeon. We find out very early on in this little passage that he was a just and devout man, and that the Holy Spirit was with him. This is key, that the Holy Spirit was with him. And we find out that he was waiting on this thing called the consolation of Israel. Now, I've read this passage several times, and early on, I often thought, why the heck would anybody want a consolation prize? You know, I watched a lot of TV growing up, and I watched these game shows, like The Price is Right, and Let's Make a Deal, and Jeopardy. And what happens is, usually, there's down to two or three people to win the big prize, thousands and thousands of dollars. And the runner-up gets what's known as the consolation prize. Basically, it's something like the take-home version of the game they were just playing. It's really nothing at all. But when we look at this term, the consolation of Israel, there's a very deep meaning here. It means encouragement. It means comfort. It means one who can provide refreshment. Basically, what the Bible is saying, that the consolation of Israel is the same consolation that we need. It is Jesus Christ. He's the one who can comfort us. He's the one who can provide refreshment. He's the one who can provide encouragement when we need it. But we also find out something else about this guy named Simeon. We find out from this text that the Holy Spirit told him he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. Most Bible teachers say that at this time in the Bible, this guy was pretty old. He's kind of an old geezer kind of guy. He had been hanging on for so long. Can you imagine that early on, God tells you to wait for something? God gives you a promise. But over the years, over the decades, what happens to most of us? Most of us tend to give up. God told many of us something years and years ago. Many of you guys in this room prayed long, long ago that God would do something, God would show out, and you've yet to see it. And what happens to people over time when we ask God for something and we wait a couple of weeks, we get angry. But imagine a couple of months and a couple of years and a couple of decades go by. God doesn't show up. You know what happens? Is our heart begins to grow cold towards God. We have this nasty little habit as human beings about the things of God. When God doesn't do what we expect or what we want Him to do, we tend to not ask God for anything else. And for many of us at an early age, we feel like God let us down. And so we have gone cold to the things of God. For many of us, we stop going to church, or we just stop praying, or we stop reading God's word. And for some people, they stop believing in God altogether. They say, what's the point? Why put my faith and my trust in a God who never comes through? But I want to tell you today, I believe the reason why you're here is for a very simple reason. God wants you to dare to believe again. He wants you to dare to believe Him again. For some of you, it might be daring to believe Him for the first time. And for some of you guys, it's daring to believe Him again. It may be years, it may be decades since you really had faith in God, really trusted Him. Because our God is a big God. Some of you have trusted God for something so big and you feel so let down. How could He do that? And I just want to challenge you today. There's a guy named Simeon in the Bible. He was told something early on that God was going to do something special. And he hung on to it. It's really a great testimony. This is what I want my testimony to be, is that God told me a promise and I never let go of it. God told me something in His word and I held on to it. To the very end, he held on to what God had said. It's really a testimony that many of us, maybe your grandparents had great faith. Grandmama and granddaddy, and some people say mama or daddy had great faith. Anybody like that? Grandmama was a prayer warrior. Grandma prayed for me when I didn't believe in myself. You know what? It doesn't have to be their testimony. It can be your testimony. You don't have to wait and just allow the faith of grandma to kind of help you in this life. No, you can help yourself and believe again. Dare to believe again. So this is going to be a very quick and powerful message for you today. If you've got paper or you take notes, I'm going to give you three things to keep you in a position to keep having great expectations. You know, in this life, nobody ever said life was going to be easy, did they? Matter of fact, life can be really hard. Can somebody say amen to that? You know, in the Bible, you know, when you signed up, if you're a believer in here today and Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, nobody told you that it was going to be horrible. Nobody told you it was going to be hard and difficult. Matter of fact, most Christians in our country believe that once we give our life to Christ, I'm not going to have to wait in line at the grocery store anymore. I'm going to get that spot right beside the handicap spot every time. And this is what I really believe, that money bags were going to rain down from heaven with dollar signs on them. And it was going to be me and Jesus having great fun all day, every day. And he was going to be like my big daddy in the sky that gave me everything I wanted, like a slot machine. Okay, that is not the God we serve. And if you were like me and you believe that, you got disappointed. Nobody told me when I gave my life to Christ, John 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have trouble. Did you know that was in the Bible? In this world, you will have trouble. But Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. You may have troubles right now. Troubles in your body, troubles in your finances, troubles in your relationships, trouble in a marriage, troubles with your kids, troubles on the job. But it's good to know that if Jesus says that he overcame the world, then surely he can come and overtake the problems you have on the job. He can overtake the problems you have in your family. Somebody say amen to that. So I'm going to give you these three things to keep you in a position of expecting great things, to have great expectations. The first one is very simple. And there's also a prerequisite to this. I'm going to give you these three. They're going to be able to be kept for the rest of your life, and they will work. But there's a prerequisite to all of this. So number one is you have to trust God. Before all these steps I give you, the first step is you have to trust God. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? A lot of times when you go through hard times, what do people say? Trust God. Let go and let God. Sounds so great, doesn't it? But trusting an invisible God with no evidence can be one of the hardest things you ever do. But it's a prerequisite to great faith. It's a prerequisite to great faith. And everything that I tell you after that is hinged on the fact that we serve an almighty God. He may not act the way you want him to act all the time. He may not do the things you want him to do all the time. But let's remember that he is God and we are not. So the first thing is dare to believe. For some of you, it's dare to believe again. The great thing about God is he knows you. We know that he's the God of the planets. He created all this. He spoke everything into existence. But even though he's a huge God, he's also a very personal God. Did you know the Bible says that he knows how many hairs are on your head or how many are not on our head? He's a very intimate God, and he knows whether you've given up in believing and you need to be dared to believe or that you need to be dared to believe again. Barack Obama wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. I love that word, audacity. It's almost like, are you crazy enough to believe that? That's what audacity means. You have the nerve to believe that. See, sometimes faith looks crazy. Faith looks real crazy sometimes, but we have a God that isn't determined by what we think. The second thing is don't stop believing. This is not a song. Don't start singing that song. Don't start singing it because you won't get it out of your head. The second step, first step is dare to believe. The second one is don't stop believing, and this is where most of us get stuck. Most of us get stuck because we may have had great faith. Grew up, for many of you guys, you may have grown up going to church and you were on the front row and you were worshiping God and you just had the joy of Jesus. And then life started to happen even more as you grew up. You became a teenager and things weren't so easy on you. And you became an adult and people turned their back on you. Friends stabbed you in the back and maybe family didn't treat you like they should. And then you got into relationships and somebody hurt you. Somebody did you wrong and you got a job. And then they did you wrong on the job. And then somewhere along the way, you stopped believing. Somewhere along the way, we stopped putting our eyes solely on Christ. Or maybe we never have put our eyes solely on him. And we started to develop this callousness towards the things of God. Why pray? And for many of us, I want to ask you because it might be highly embarrassing. When's the last time you really prayed? When's the last time you read God's word and really believed? When's the last time that you believed for God for something so crazy it had to be God? See, for a lot of us, we don't want to answer that because we stopped believing for the big things after we left being a child. We stopped believing God for the big, impossible, crazy things. You know, there's a big thing. Back in 1962, President John F. Kennedy, he gave a speech at Rice University. 1962, he said, I want our nation to be the first one to go to the moon. Now, we think about that. Oh, it's great, the moon. It's right there. Hello, moon. But you think about in 1962 when it hadn't been done before, he was going to invest resources and time because he had this crazy, audacious vision of going to the moon. Some people called it foolish. You had a dream too. You know, the thing about God is he gives us desires. The Bible says that he will give you the desires of your heart. All of us have desires. We have dreams. We have goals. For some of you, you had a desire to start a business. For some of you, God has given you a vision to write a book about your life or about something. For some of you, it's believing God for a bonus or a promotion. But God put these desires in your heart. Isn't that funny? He gives us these desires. He knows what's really making us tick. The third thing, first one was dare to believe. The second one is don't stop believing. And the third one is decide that the promise God has made in his word and spoken to you through the Holy Spirit is worth the wait. See, for a lot of us, we give up. We rationalize in our mind that it's not really worth it. We rationalize in our heart and our soul, God told us something big, but he's not going to do it. It must have not been that great anyway, or he just would have gave it to me. But life is not always easy, is it? Sometimes life hits us in a hard place. You know, I believe today that for many of you, God wants to reignite your faith. And when I say that word, dare to believe, it means that we go outside of the ordinary. See, a lot of times when people pray, they're like, Lord, keep my lights on this month and don't let the bad man take it away from me. Lord, I just pray a few crumbs would fall from heaven and you'd be able to feed my family this month. And those are valuable prayers and those are needed. But you know what? We serve the God who could give you the electric company if he wanted to. We serve the God who can do anything. And he wants us to dream big and desire big. We serve a God, if you read the Bible, for a lot of us, we don't know what kind of God we serve because we don't read what kind of God he is. Did you know there's a man in the Old Testament named Elijah? And this guy named Elijah, he was a prophet of God. And he went to the top of a mountain and he was going to have a challenge between him and these 400 prophets of Baal. This is how amazing and how ridiculous. See, sometimes faith can sound so ignorant. Faith can sound so ridiculous, people would laugh at you if you told them what you were believing for. This guy named Elijah, he went to the top of the mountain. And don't you know what happened? There was a challenge that got thrown down. The challenge is that the true God would show up in fire. He just showed up. He would show up in fire on the altar. And so all these 400 prophets of Baal, they begin to pray and pray all night and pray all day. They were wailing and hollering at their gods and nothing happened. And then Elijah, it was his turn. He rolled up his sleeves. He rolled up his sleeves and
then, there we go. So he rolled up his sleeves and he began to do something completely ridiculous. I love the Bible because it just makes no sense. Scientifically, nothing makes sense in the Bible. You just can't prove all this stuff. And science hasn't caught up with things that happen in the Bible. But listen to this. This guy named Elijah rolled up his sleeves. He said, before I ask God to rain a pillar of fire down on this altar, I want you to create a trench all the way around this altar. And I want you to take water and pour it on top of this altar until the trench is filled up with water. Now, if you're going to ask God to have fire come down, one of the last things you're going to do is add water on top of it, right? You're going to throw some lighter fluid on there, some Kingsford bricks down there. You're going to do something to make it a little easier. But the thing about God is he loves things that are impossible. I bet there's been some impossible situations in your life. We serve the God of the impossible. You know what happened? He simply asked God to come down. And you know what God did? A pillar of fire came down and it consumed the altar. And the Bible says that it licked up the water. Our God is an amazing God. You know, and it's not just Bible stuff. Our God still does amazing, audacious things in our life. You know, one of the things that's personal to me that happened in my life is some of you guys know that my dad had a stroke about 2.5 years ago, right after Easter. And it left him paralyzed on half of his body and he can't talk. He's an old Vietnam War vet. And we found out some bad news around Thanksgiving. We found out the doctor called and told me it doesn't look good for your dad. He stopped eating. And he stopped taking his medication. And she said, son, I think he's given up. And what she didn't know is behind the scenes, I had plans for about a year and a half to move him to Clarksville when the Tennessee State Veteran Home opened up. And it got really scary about what was going to happen to my dad. And I'd asked God something many months ago. I said, God, I just want my dad to be in Clarksville before Christmas. And it sounds like a very simple prayer, but there was no evidence that this was going to happen. Matter of fact, there was evidence to the contrary. The doctor actually told me this. She said, son, he may not make it on the trip there. I think he's given up on living. That's how bad it was. But don't you know that we have an amazing God that hears even the faintest prayers? You know what happened? On Thanksgiving night, my dad showed up in Clarksville at the new VA nursing home for veterans. And don't you know what else happened? He started to eat again. He started to take his medication again. He hadn't been out of a hospital bed in over 6 months. He's sitting up in a chair, eating, laughing, having fun. Bought him a 55-inch 4K television on Black Friday. He's living good, having fun. And you know what? God answers prayers. You know what? It don't matter. Come on, let's give God a big hand clap for that. I just want you to know something very simple. God hears your prayers. Don't stop believing. Wherever you're at in your faith, no matter what's happened or has happened, I want to dare you, just like in a Christmas story, Pastor Lance, I want to triple dog dare you. Triple dog dare you. I'm going to beat all the bush, whatever that means. I want to challenge you. God has not changed. You know, the Bible's really clear in the book of Malachi. It says, I am the Lord and I do not change. For many of us, we think God has changed. God didn't change. He didn't change because of your circumstance. He didn't change because of your situation. If anything changed, you changed. And your perspective on him changed. But he has not changed. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to challenge you to begin to dream God-sized dreams. Believe in God-sized belief. It starts with your own personal relationship with Jesus. I just want to pray for you right now. Can I do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that people's first step would be to trust in you. Maybe they're here and they've not really given their life over to Christ, or maybe life has snuffed out the fire and the desire to serve you. God, I pray today will be the day when they say, you know what? I'm going to dare to believe again. I'm going to dare to trust this Jesus. I'm going to dare to believe in that dream that God gave me. I'm going to hang on to that scripture that says I can be healed. I'm going to hang on to that scripture that says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Father, there's dreams all over this room, God. I pray that even now you would speak through the power of the Holy Spirit that you are here, that you hear them. God, I pray right now that their faith would not be built on what they can do, but who you are and what you've already done for us. God, the greatest Christmas gift that we could ever receive is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that gives us that relationship with you, that takes all our past and our sin away. God, today, we dare to believe in Jesus' name.
You know, as our heads are bowed, let's just reach out and take hold of this promise that we've talked about today. You know, if your body is sick, you're facing maybe a cancer or some terminal illness, we just want to believe for healing. We're believing. We're daring to believe for the impossible. So, Lord, in this room, there could be somebody that's struggling with an illness. Lord, today, by faith, Lord, we reach out and we claim that healing is ours in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just call that forth, whoever I'm speaking to, their life. I say, cancer be gone in Jesus' name. Terminal illness be gone in Jesus' name. Oppression, depression, emotional illness be gone in Jesus' name. We call forth life and health in our bodies. You know, if you're a lady in here and you're married and just been believing you and your husband to have a baby and for some reason it just hasn't happened, we're going to pray right now that would come forth. Father, right now, Lord, we're believing for pregnancies, Lord, to come forth. Lord, women, God, men that have been believing, God, give me a child. Lord, year after year has gone by and doctors have said this and that, but it just hasn't happened. Lord, today we're choosing to believe. Lord, I just speak life over the womb right now. If that is you, just place your hand right there on your womb. And your husband, if your husband's there, just place his hand, place your hand there. Lord, right now we call forth life into that womb. We say, child, the blessing of a child, come forth in Jesus' name. You know, if you're in here and you're having marital difficulty and it's just, you've given up, man. It's been so tough. He's hard-hearted. You've gotten hard or it's other way, whatever's going on. Today, God, I'm asking for the fight to arise. Lord, it looks hopeless. Let a greater fight arise to believe again that this marriage can actually be what we have envisioned it, that one day it can be. Lord, I pray that we would choose to fight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God and Pastor Richard a big hand today. Thank you so much. Good job, champ. Guys, you know, every Christmas, as a church family, we want to make sure that we're bringing hope to our community, especially when it comes to children, and especially children around the world. And so every Christmas, what we do is we receive our special Christmas offering. And what this offering does is it goes to help supporting a couple of things. We have three initiatives this year. Number one is Mission of Grace. In the nation of Haiti, they experienced a massive hurricane. You guys heard about this a couple of months ago. And there was a lot of families that where their homes were destroyed. And so this Christmas, a portion of this offering is going to go towards helping rebuild a family's home. That's huge. Also, right here in our own community, there is a ministry called Prison Fellowship. And what that ministry does is they provide Christmas for children whose parents are incarcerated. And so a portion of this offering is going to help purchase those Christmas gifts for these children. And right here in our own church, we have a ministry called Angel Tree, where we help families at Christmas provide Christmas for their children. And so a portion of this offering is going to go towards that. So as a church, we have the opportunity to bring hope to our community and the nations. Amen? Our goal is $10,000 that we're believing to raise. So that's going to take all of us getting on board. And so today we're going to receive that offering. If you're making a check, you can make it out to Bethel. If you'd like to give cash, there's an envelope in the seat back in front of you. If you did not come prepared to give, you can go to our Bethel Community.Church, our website. You can give that way. And also, we're going to receiving this offering every Sunday in December, as well as our Christmas Eve service. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give into these ministries. Lord, let this gift, this financial gift, be a blessing to these ministries. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for giving.